Yo, what's up, all my brothers from other mothers? This is Jason George, the Grizz, and I'm coming at you from chilly Huntingtown, Maryland. Today is December 11th, 2019. I'm here in the Grizz Cave, my home office with my two dogs. If you don't know, I've got a yellow and a chocolate lab, Ruger and Remington. They're named after two of my favorite guns. And I've got a hot cup of coffee here with me. My pain levels right now are pretty low this morning, so I'm blessed and rejoicing for that, because yesterday and last night was pretty rough for me with my treatments for late stage Lyme disease. I won't go into the details, but man, I was not happy. I was not rejoicing. I was not giving thanks. I let the pain and the suffering get the best of me, and the joy was sucked right out of me. You've had times like that too, where you've allowed something or someone to suck the joy right out of you. Notice what I said. They did not suck the joy out of you, or that thing did not suck the joy out of you. You've allowed something or someone to suck the joy right out of you. You've allowed it to do that. Nasty joy suckers. That's what I want to talk to you about over the next few episodes of the Grizz podcast. Nasty joy suckers. And this comes from a message that I gave several years ago at a church in Nixa, Missouri, where I was on staff as the youth pastor for a short time. I really think you're going to benefit from this. I know that I did, just by re-listening to myself. It really slapped me in the face in a good way. I needed it. I needed that slap in the face. So I'm going to let you hear part of that message, and then I want to make a few comments at the close of this episode. In the next episode, you'll hear some more. So here we go with Nasty Joy Suckers, Part 1.
Drop!
Listening to the Grizz Podcast, where our mission is to help boys become men and to help men become better men. It's gonna be raw, it's gonna be real, and it's gonna be relevant. Now, here's your host, Jason George.
A Christian in the 11th grade, I remember that time so clearly because I thought that it was always going to feel like that. I remember sitting in a chapel service. God had been working on my heart for a couple years. I was going to a Christian high school thinking that I was saved, but I was as lost as a ball in high weeds and didn't want to admit it. So God just was working on my heart, and I'm sitting there in this chapel service, and my heart's about to pound out of my chest, and God's knocking at the door, and he's saying, you need to be saved, you need to get real, you need to get serious, you need to commit your life to me, you need to cross the line. And I'm going, God, I am saved, God, I know you. And then finally, I just gave in. God was drawing me to himself, just like the scriptures say. I can't say that I sought after God, God sought after me, and I only responded. The only reason I responded is because of a work he was doing in my heart. This whole salvation thing is totally of God. I get up and I go forward. I don't even know if the guy's done preaching. Evangelist Rick Gage, I come forward. I bow here at what he was calling an altar, these steps. And I don't even remember what I said, but I know what I said I meant. And I know that my life really changed at that point. And I've never been the same since. I'm not the man I totally want to be in Christ, but I'm not the man I used to be. I'm somewhere in the in-between. That's where I live. And I just keep pressing on and striving. And God is full of grace. But I had this new life. Some of you in here know exactly what I'm talking about. I had a new life. I had a new leader. I had a new love in my heart. I had new longings. Stuff that I was like, where is this coming from? Stuff I wanted to do I never wanted to do before. Things I had a hunger for. Things I no longer had a hunger for. I had a distaste for. And one of the things that was going on inside of me was this joy. To where my family and even some of my friends were looking at me like, what are you smoking, man? What's up with you? I'm out smiling for the right reasons. They're like, what's going on? What'd you do? Nothing, man. I'm just praising the Lord. Man, I feel good. I got this thing in my heart, this joy, this peace, this burden's been lifted off me. I'm forgiven. I'm cleansed. I sense that God's with me. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm not scared the way I was scared. There was a joy inside of me. However, I think a lot of you understand, it didn't take long for me to encounter some things that completely sucked that joy right out of me. And I was like, what is going on? What's wrong? Because I thought I was going to feel like that until I got to heaven. I mean, I was having some heaven on earth inside my heart with this joy thing. I really felt joy like I never felt. It was like a spiritual high inside. And I'm not talking about this superficial, temporary happiness that you get when you open a Christmas present. There was an inner joy, whether I had a lot or didn't have, you know, a lot or I had very little. I just had a joy. But it didn't take long. It was sucked right out of me. If you've been a follower of Christ for a good amount of time, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know where you live here on earth. You know what this world is like. You know what other Christians can be like. Some of them, man, that sucked the joy right out of you. Look at them. What's wrong with you? I mean, see, have you met Jesus yet? What's wrong? Why do you look like that? I mean, see, you could look nice if your face didn't look so miserable. Like, you just... Yeah, you're unhappy. I mean, we're singing worship songs, and you look like the Antichrist is leading us or something. I'm like, what's going on with you? That's Robbie. He's a good guy. Listen to me. You begin your Christian life filled with deep inner joy. I don't know anybody that really begins their Christian life and they don't have a deep inner joy. There's something that you sense inside. I'm not saying your life is perfect. Oh, everything is all happy, happy, joy, joy. But there's something inside of you when you really give your life to Christ. There's a deep inner joy. Now, watch this. It comes from your new relationship with God because God invades you. But because we live in this fallen world with fallen people and these fallen bodies, we often encounter things that suck the joy right out of us. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, I got some brothers and sisters in here today. Some of you are like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm always full of joy. You're a liar. Most of you know, if you're honest, exactly what I'm talking about. You've gone through a time where your joy was sucked right out of you. Some of you may be going through a time like that right now. And on Sunday mornings at church, you do your best at putting on a mask and acting like you're joyful. But deep down, some of you are in here, and seriously, you don't want everyone to know, but you're hurting, you're depressed, or you're extremely anxious. You're full of anxiety and worry. And you put on a mask, and I'm not making fun of you, I'm not condemning you, because of all people, I know exactly what that's like, because especially when you're in a leadership position, sometimes we wear the mask more than everyone else. And I want you guys to know, man, I know exactly what it's like. How you doing, brother? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, man. I'm miserable. this week was horrible. Praise the Lord, man. Isn't God good? God, he is. Amen. He's good. Just not this week. I don't feel good. I'm scared. I'm depressed. I don't know why. My prayers don't seem to work. I don't even feel like a Christian anymore. What is going on? I've been there. You know, for the past month, I have really been just studying this book of Philippians. Man, when I say studying, I mean studying. I mean, I'm taking notes, I'm writing stuff down, I'm looking stuff up in the original language, and I'm no scholar. I'm trying to understand what it's saying, and I'm just writing all this stuff down. I'm getting so much out of it, and this is only four chapters in the book of Philippians, and I'm going, I mean, I could spend the rest of my life studying just these four chapters. I mean, I keep finding stuff. The more you dig in God's Word, the more nuggets and gold and precious stones there are, and I'm like, I'm finding stuff I didn't even know was in there. I read it again. I'm like, God, I know you just put that verse in there. That wasn't there last week. Where did that come from? And then the more you really get to study some of the original languages and things like that, some of these words that are just casual words, you find the deep meaning in them, and you're like, whoa. Like, right there, I'm just stopping right there. That was enough for today's devotions. And the reason I've really been studying is not just for me personally, but on Wednesdays with the teenagers, that's what we're going through. We're studying the book of Philippians. And you can ask them. We're going on our third week this week. We haven't made it past verse 1. Beginning of it, you know, just says, you know, this is Paul and Timothy writing. And I said, well, let's stop there. Because it's rich right there. Who's Paul? So we've been studying the book of Philippians. And man, in this book of Philippians, the whole theme of the entire book, some of you know because you studied it, or you got a study Bible and you can open the first page and say, hey, what's the theme of this book? The theme is joy. The whole theme of the book is about joy, the joy of a Christian, the joy in the believer's life. And the teens are like, really? We didn't know that because we ain't even got that far. We haven't even got to what's in the letter. We're just trying to figure out who wrote the letter. But the whole theme is joy. Paul's letter to the Philippians reveals the fact that God wants our Christian life to be full of joy. That's what the letter reveals. And we're not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to show you some stuff in this letter. This letter reveals, listen, you need to hear this. God wants your Christian life to be full of joy. And if that's what he wants, then it can be full of joy. Because he's not going to want something for you or command something of you that is impossible. And you need to know that because sometimes we get so down, so depressed, so downtrodden that we bind to this lie from the enemy that it's like, this is how it's always going to be. This must be what God wants. Woe is me. I'm just going to have to endure until Jesus comes. And we do endure, but we can endure with a deep inner sense of joy. Even if you're sitting in a Mamertine dungeon in Rome or under house arrest like Paul is when he writes this, he's under house arrest chained to a Roman soldier. The guy's right beside him. He can't go where he wants. He can't do what he wants. He can't, you know, go down the street and grab a Route 44 from Sonic. He can't do that. He's got to stay right there. It's limited who can visit him. He says, man, I'm full of joy. I'm so full of joy. I'm fine. You guys in Philippi, you're all worried about me? I'm fine. And then, you know what? Like, to live is Christ. I'm good. Even if they kill me, man, to die is gain. I'm better. What are y'all worried about? I'm like, man, this guy, I love him. Let me give you a little background on Philippians. And background on Philippians is this. It's really not a book. It's a very personal letter. That's why they're called epistles. They're letters. It's a personal letter from the Apostle Paul to the believers in the city of Philippi. Paul wrote this specific letter, like I said, while he's under house arrest, while chained to a Roman soldier. I just want you to imagine that for a moment. House arrest, chained to a Roman soldier. And things are not going to get better in his Christian life. Not by man's standards. He's going to keep going hard for the cause of Christ. And by the time he gets to writing 1st, 2nd Timothy, he's not under house arrest, sitting in a house, chained to a Roman soldier. He is in a Mamertine dungeon. Where many scholars believe that the open sewage, the nasty stuff from the city of Rome, that kind of, it would flow right through there. He didn't have a toilet that flushed. anything like that. It was dark, damp, cold. The guy says, man, I'm full of joy. What's going on with you, Paul? What have you learned that we need to learn? In this short letter to the Philippians, the word joy appears 13 times, either in its noun form as joy or in its verb form as rejoice. Rejoice is a verb. It's an action. That's why he says rejoice. Again, I will say rejoice. Well, I don't feel like it. I didn't ask you how you felt. Rejoice. I don't feel like worshiping this morning. Do it. It's a command. Rejoice. Just do it. Man, there's so much I want to get into, but I can't. But I think some of us, you know, that are growing and you've learned some things, and a lot of you that have been married a while, you know that you don't do things. You don't rely on your feelings. If I waited on my feelings, I'd have ruined my marriage. I wouldn't do much anything. It's funny how you do what you know you're supposed to do and the feelings follow later. You make a decision of the will. Listen to all the times that the Apostle Paul mentions joy or rejoice. This is crazy. I'll just go through them. They're on the screen. I'll go through them quick. Verse 4, he says, I make my prayer with joy. Making my prayer with joy. Verse 4, chapter 1, verse 18, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Same verse. Yes, and I will rejoice. Verse 25 of chapter 1, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. Chapter 2, verse 2, complete my joy by being of the same mind. Chapter 2, verse 17, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Chapter 2, verse 18, likewise you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Chapter 2, verse 28, he's speaking of Epaphroditus who came to visit him. I'm eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again. Chapter 3, verse 1, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, my brothers whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. My joy and crown. Chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Same verse, chapter 4, verse 4. Again, I will say rejoice. Chapter 4, verse 10, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. 13 times. You trying to tell us something, Paul? This whole letter is about joy. God wants your Christian life to be full of joy. That's what he wants. And we start out that way, but something happens and it gets sucked out of us so many times. Some of us feel like we're just so up and down. As you can see, joy permeates through this entire letter. In fact, the book of Philippians has often been called the Epistle of Joy. Again, this reveals the fact that God wants our Christian life to be full of joy. I want you to also see what Jesus himself said in John 15:11. This is what the Lord writes or says, and it was written down. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I'm just trying to make the point. Do you see? Not just from Paul, and if it was just from Paul, it's still okay because Paul is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and it's God's word. But I'm trying to show you also that even Jesus said, I want your joy to be full. In your Christian life, I want you to be full of joy. That doesn't mean you always feel good. That doesn't mean everything is going great in your life, because in this world you will have trouble. He's told us. Paul was suffering, hurting. He was cold. He got lonely. It even says there were times where he got depressed, but he knew how to battle it. There was a joy that he had, and he would rejoice anyway. There's a deep inner joy that we can have even in the most darkest times, even in the most horrific pain. There's a joy that we can have. I've been around people like that. I've experienced it at times. When I'm around people like that, that are suffering like crazy, when they're ridden with cancer and they're so close to death and they're smiling at me, they grab my hand and they say, how can I pray for you? Hey, nurse, did you kind of like drug him up a little bit? No, he's just how he's been praying for all of us. Okay, this guy's not normal. It's full of joy. God wants our Christian life to be full of joy. So what happens to us? Here's the question. What is it that sucks the joy out of us? We start out full of joy, but then we often lose it. So what's going on? And as I was reading through the book of Philippians, God was teaching me. Here's the main truth I want you to get this morning. Man, write this down. You write it in your notes. You write it in the white pages in the front or the back of your Bible. You write it somewhere in Philippians in the margin. You get this. You listen to what I'm saying. Listen to this. If my Christian life is not full of joy, then it's because I've allowed a nasty joy sucker to attach itself to my Christian life. I've allowed a nasty joy sucker to attach itself to my Christian life. It's not my wife's fault. It's not Gordon's fault. It's not God's fault. Now, God may allow things, but I'm going to make a decision. I'm allowing these nasty joy suckers to attach and suck the joy out of me. I do it. And the thing that I got to constantly do, and you've got to constantly do, and this is why letter, especially not just the whole Word of God, but this letter in Philippians, this is why God puts it here, so we can look in His Word and identify those things, those nasty joy suckers. We can identify them and go, there's one. God, what do I do to get rid of this thing? What do I do to get this off me? And listen, some of them don't just pop off easy. You may have to go through a season of just suffering and learning how to get rid of this thing. Because you're like, man, this thing is in there. Nasty. And there's nothing wrong with you coming to church and someone saying, how are you doing? And you just saying, I got a nasty joy sucker. I got a nasty joy sucker just hanging on me, man. It's sucking the joy out of me. I'm trying to identify it so I can remove it. And you know what? Every one of us that's trying to be honest will go, let me pray with you. Man, I know. Because if you are going through a time where you really got the joy of the Lord in you, man, thank God, praise God for it. But we never look down on others that don't. Because, man, if you even got a pinch of maturity, you know. You know how it is, man. When you start really trying to live for Jesus and not just be a fan, all hell breaks loose. Things get hard.
All right. Well, there's a couple key points that I want to emphasize from that clip that really stood out to me that, like I said earlier, kind of slapped me in the face. And I believe it's going to help me with the pain, suffering, the struggle, everything I've been going through and going to continue to go through. And I believe it'll help you too. So, four key takeaways. Here we go. Number one, God wants us to be joyful believers regardless of our circumstances. God wants us to be joyful believers regardless of our circumstances. Number two, with God, we can be joyful believers regardless of our circumstances. With God, we can be joyful believers regardless of our circumstances. I don't believe we can do it without God. I believe we have to have Him in us and through us, you know, producing that joy for sure. Number three, if my Christian life is not full of joy, then it's because I've allowed a nasty joy sucker to attach itself to my life. It's not God's fault. It's not my wife's fault. It's not my kids' fault. It's not the government's fault. It's my fault. If my Christian life is not full of joy, then it's because I've allowed a nasty joy sucker to attach itself to my life. And so, number four, key point takeaway is I need to identify what that nasty joy sucker is. And if I can't identify it, then I need to talk to a pastor, a counselor, a therapist, someone that can help me identify what is sucking the joy out of my Christian life. Help me identify that. It could be anything, you know, like a false belief. It could be negative thinking, negative self-talk. Who knows? But I need to identify that nasty joy sucker, and I need to address it with God's guidance and God's power. So There you go. Those are a couple good takeaways for you, for me, for all of us. And last thing I want to say is thank you to all of you who listen to the podcast. First of all, I really appreciate it. You can hear Ruger over there panning. He has issues. It's the middle of winter, but he's panning. Thank you to all of you who listen to the podcast, but also thank you to all of you who make a monthly. Hey, Ruger, hush up. I'm trying to do a podcast here, and you're over there panning like you're in the desert. Go lay down. Lay down. All right, let me say this again. Thank you to all of you who listen to the podcast. He's doing it again. Thank you to all of you who listen to the podcast, and thank you to all of you who make a monthly tax-exempt donation to the Grizz Podcast. The Grizz Podcast is an outreach of Narrow Trail Ministries Incorporated, which is a nonprofit organization that I oversee with the board of directors. And so every time there's a donation to the Grizz Podcast, it is a tax-exempt donation. And I just really appreciate it. It's not taken for granted. It's a blessing. And it allows me to keep doing what I'm doing here with the podcast, even though I have not been able to do it as faithfully, consistently as I really want to. I want to drop an episode once a week, but with my health issues, I just have not had it in me. I'm doing all I can many times to just tread water, keep my head above water with trying to get better, taking care of household chores, working my job as best I can, and just whatever else, man. Sometimes coming up with creative stuff for the podcast and actually taking time to record, to edit, to get it out there. It's too much on my plate. And so I hate that. It's not what I want. Thank you for your patience with me on that. But that's the reason why. Nobody's being lazy. That's what's going on. I've had to cancel a couple speaking engagements, which I hate doing. That's my main, you know, ministry. That's my passion. I stepped away from being on staff at a church full time so that I could become an itinerant speaker. But right now, my health issues has even limited that with my side business, with doing home improvement stuff. I do a lot of painting and deck restoration. I've been limited even with that, unable to work full days like I need to, like I want to. So anyway, not trying to get anybody to feel sorry for me. It's not a guilt trip. That's not my way of saying, oh, please give a donation. Just making you guys aware again of why not as much consistency with the podcast as I really want there to be. It's not the only area of my life where there's not the consistency that I want. So that's what's going down. Anyway, please keep me in your prayer. Pray for healing. Pray for strength. Pray for peace. I've got some speaking engagements coming up. One right around New Year's Eve at a youth event, and then two winter youth retreats coming up in January. I really want to be just sharp mentally. I want to be strong spiritually. I need my health and my symptoms to not be gone. I'm not expecting that, but to stay in check, to stay manageable, and that I don't come down with any kind of, you know, stomach virus or flu or anything that would, you know, add to what I'm already dealing with, so that I can go into these speaking events and really let God make an impact upon these young people and even their youth leaders. So please pray for that. And if you've got anything that you want me praying for, you can always shoot me an email. My email is jason@narrowtrail.com, jason@narrowtrail.com. That's all I got for you guys for this week. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the positive feedback that you guys have been giving me, the ratings and reviews on iTunes. Thank you for that. And thank you just for what else? Oh, the monthly supporters. Thank you guys that are doing that. I really appreciate it. So that's word to your mother.
You've been listening to the Grizz Podcast, an outreach of Narrow Trail Ministries Incorporated. If this podcast has been helping to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God's calling you to live, then please consider partnering with us by giving a tax-exempt donation to our nonprofit ministry. Your financial gift will help us continue to improve and expand our impact around the world. You can make your secure online donation at thegrizzpodcast.com. Now, it's time to take what you've learned and chew on it. And then you need to step up, man up, and go live it out. Grizzin', you know what I'm saying.